Welcome to Consider This, the popular podcast series brought to you by the Organization of Legal Professionals. I'm your host, Bridget Novak. This series will focus on the legal industry, current trends, substantive issues, and career perspectives. Each program will run approximately 15 minutes. We hope you stay tuned for this program and join us for others in the future.
Hello, and welcome to today's program, The Future of eDiscovery Workflows. During this program, we'll talk about the benefits of setting up an automated eDiscovery workflow program. We know that law firms, well, many businesses, have people in them who resist change. So we'll also talk about the typical objections and how to overcome them. Our special guest is Joe Utzler, Director of Product Marketing for eDiscovery at Nuix. Nuix is a worldwide provider of information management technologies, including eDiscovery, electronic investigation, and information governance software. Joe has over 20 years' experience in litigation technology and eDiscovery, including work in Am Law 10 firms and with industry-leading software providers and consulting teams. Thanks so much for joining us, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start by talking about the likely objections firm managers and clients might have to setting up an automated eDiscovery workflow program and how people who want such programs should overcome them.
Absolutely, Bridget. You know, the primary objections tend to come down to two things, both technological and money, which is hardly a surprise. On the technology side, people feel like they don't have the skills in-house, they don't have the knowledge to develop automated software processes. And the truth of the matter is that it's really not about software. You know, automated workflows or workflows in general are really about documenting your process, and that's just sitting down and tracking exactly what it is you do. That's where you're going to get your biggest gains. The automation, the software piece of it certainly is important, but the real knowledge is in being able to track your actual workflow. The other aspect certainly is money. You know, law firms, corporations, it's very easy to spend money when you've got an incident or you've got a client who's billable. However, when we start talking about infrastructure, when we start talking about processes, it's a little harder to budget for that. People feel like they can't afford to pay consultants or they can't afford to pay their software developers in order to map these things out. But the truth of the matter is that that's all something that your standard eDiscovery service provider can probably do. They can actually put those workflows together for you, use the tools that they're using to support you, hopefully, to provide that framework for automation without having to write any original software. The other side of that is that they feel like they can't divert their experts away from the paying client work to sit down and actually do the codification, the documenting of the process. And really, this is an ROI. You know, the time that they invest in documenting those processes turns around really, really quickly, and they see a lot of benefit just in terms of the larger volumes of work and the lower costs at which they're able to perform them.
Talking about higher volumes of work, actually, that they're able to handle, your company has examples of firms that actually doubled the number of cases and data they could handle after implementing an automated eDiscovery program, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we work with a lot of consulting firms, a lot of partners of ours, and I'm going to say one of ours in particular was discussing with us about building a business case and really breaking down the amount of time that it took to process the data in kind of standard reactive mode, you know, responding to it as it came in, just the, you know, kind of loose workflow system, and how long that would take versus how long it would take with a standard structured workflow, something that was documented to the point where it could actually be executed by a more junior technician, a project manager. And they found that they really were able to double the amount of cases they could handle. They were able to double the amount of data they could handle just by going through that process. So that's, you know, that's pretty exciting, and it's something that we have heard multiple times.
Another objection I've actually heard is that some firms are concerned that we can't go with an automated system because one system will not fit all of our clients. Our clients and our cases are just too unique and two different, and even the jurisdictions we work in have different requirements. So how do you address that concern?
Well, you know, everybody's different in pretty much the exact same way, I suppose. It's true. Every case is different. There are always going to be variations in the case, in the data. There'll be differences depending on your jurisdiction. And the key there is that you want to have the flexibility to build your workflows to your situation, right? This is not a one-size-fits-all type of situation. However, the process, the workflow, is pretty consistent. So where you might have a different set of final results that you need for a particular court, or you may need to handle different types of data for a particular case, you know, those are all things that that if you've got a system that allows for some flexibility, you can actually write in special templates to handle those. And again, then they're consistent. So every time you're working for that courthouse, you've got that workflow set up. Every time that you're dealing with those sorts of data, that process is already in place. And that can be critical, especially when you start talking about, you know, second requests or coming back to a case after a long, you know, a long cool period. The knowledge that you can go back in, implement those workflows that you've documented, and know that your results 6 months later, a year later, are going to be consistent with what you'd done originally, that's critical, and that's going to keep you from seeing sanctions in those courts. It's going to keep you from struggling as you deal with your different data types.
That makes sense. Let's talk about just simply the error rate that is likely to occur when you're relying on a non-automated system versus an automated one.
Sure. You know, structured workflows allow you to codify the process. It allows you to track exactly what you're doing, and allows you to iterate that over time so that it gives you some real definition over what you're doing. So where initially you're dealing with, you know, someone making their best determination about how to do something, as you build the workflows, as you refine it, you're able to sharpen that and reduce your error rate because you can see exactly the results of each phase of your job. We have a client who very specifically in building his business case tracked that error rate and saw it go from, you know, kind of his standard freeform process at about a 5% error rate down to practically zero, and that's dramatic. And I think that's really what we're all looking for is to get as close to perfect as we can ever get.
Close to perfect, that sounds good. So once you've addressed people's objections and gotten them to agree to convert to an automated e-discovery workflow program, what criteria and goals should you look for in the program you choose?
You know, obviously there's not a single answer to that. There are definitely aspects of an automated system that I think are critical. You want to have some sort of methodology that allows you to repeat your workflow over and over again exactly the same way. And that can be a scripting process. Ideally, it's something that allows you to build templates so that you can, you know, be very specific about exactly how you handle the data. I suppose the other thing that I think would be really, really critical would be reporting. You want to have a lot of transparency into how the work is done so that there's never a question down the line about whether it was done appropriately or if, you know, one aspect of the automation was not working for this particular data set. So those are probably the two critical things. Beyond that, you know, you don't want to give up your core values. So certainly you want to make sure that whatever system that you're using still provides you with the performance, the speed, the access to, you know, multiple file types, all of those things that are obviously, you know, sort of table stakes in the document processing landscape.
And from the technological side, it should be web interfaced so that everyone can access it at all times.
That would be my expectation. You know, depending on how your organization works, you're going to have different decisions about who interfaces with the system, who's got access to it. The ideal system would be something that you could spread across your entire organization. where you could expand your teams, you could swap out teams, have them all be able to jump in and work on projects as required, and feel like because they're able to pick up that automation, because they're able to run those same stored processes, that you're going to have a consistent result. If you only have a single user that's able to get into it, well, then you're in the same bind that you were in if you were just relying on an expert to do all the work. So absolutely, you know, you want to have some flexibility in terms of that, and a more centralized system is going to give you that.
And it helps make sure that all your offices, no matter how many you have, are doing the same process in the same way, which helps increase consistency and trainability. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that this isn't a closed-end process. In other words, once you set up an automated workflow, it's not something you do and then forget about. You have to keep reviewing it, assessing it, updating it, right?
You know, you can really think of this system as essentially a member of the team. And the team is learning, the team is developing, fine-tuning their processes. You need a system that's going to be able to do that as well. So you're constantly looking at the results that you're getting. You're looking at the different outputs at the various levels of the process, and learning from that. You know, historically we would do that process. We would certainly learn from our mistakes. We would try to refine and fine-tune our processes, but that information tended to be locked up inside, you know, our best employees, our experts inside the organization. What we're able to do here is really have a learning system where we can, you know, continue to evolve how that workflow works, certainly save, you know, earlier workflows so that you know that you're consistent with how you did things in a previous project. But again, we're trying to grow. We're trying to improve our own efficiencies. We're trying to improve our own accuracy. So you want a system that is going to allow you to continue to update those workflows as necessary.
Excellent point. And before I let you go, is there anything in the future of e-discovery solutions that we should be aware of coming down the pike?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty big question. Absolutely. You know, we have this conversation a lot, and primarily I think because a lot of people you know, want to be the predictor. I'm known, and you know, apologies if you haven't met me before. I'm pretty well known as the evangelist in the industry space. I'm not the prognosticator. I've heard a lot of things. You know, there's a huge intersect happening right now with information governance and the way that we are managing data within corporations and within you know, the actual place where those documents live. I've heard people propose that that's really going to be the end of e-discovery. But the reality for me is that what that means is that further back into the corporations, there's going to be a need for e-discovery experts, for e-discovery technology. There's going to be a need to get in there and do all of these things, the structured workflows, the ability to, you know, reduce our stored data. All of that all of that technology, all of that knowledge is moving forward in the process. And it's moving into the corporations. I think that's really the biggest piece. There continue to be new bits of technology, but I really do think that it's the process that's evolving the most dramatically.
Yes, I think it's going to be switching from basically reactive to more of a proactive. We need to set up the system to deal with this from day one.
Well said, well said.
That's all the time we have for this program with special guest Joe Utzler, Director of Product Marketing for eDiscovery at Nuix. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have today. I want to thank our audience for tuning in and remind you that we will be producing these programs on a regular basis and that you can listen to this program again and check out future programs in the podcast section of the OLP website. That is theolp.org. Please let us know what topics you'd like us to cover and who you'd like us to interview on future programs. You can email us at info@theolp.org or call us at 760-610-5462. That number again is 760-610-5462. 610-5462. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening to Consider This.